so because there's not a lot of free stuff, and then the stuff that people do want to get into, they usually don't have the money to pay for it. And then there aren't around the programs that provide what they want to do for free, and they usually don't have people that keep them motivated to do what they want to do. Like me, as far as dancing, like I didn't have a lot of motivation, but I had people that liked to see me dance, but I didn't have a lot of motivation from family. So if I would have had it from family, I would have really wanted to do it way more. But you know, I still had people motivate me. But what if I didn't have those people? Right. You know, what if I had no one? You know what I'm saying? I would have fell back into that too, because I was a part of it, you know, but the dance took over everything. Once I realized that, I left that.
Let me ask you this. When I look at some of the early videos that you all did, including the Dancing in the Rain and some of the things that were shown, I think, in the E40 video.
Right.
I see those dance steps today that are being choreographed. I see some of those dance steps on Fortnite in big corporations making millions.
Oh yeah.
I see some of those dance steps being, you know, a part of pop culture with a different name. How do you feel about that? You know, do you think that is that a direct influence of what happened, of what you all did? Are you looking at that and going, that's an Oakland thing that came from us? And you know, and Fortnite has these dances that, you know, you got to pay money to, you know, they make millions off this, you know.
Oh, yeah. They actually credited Chunky with the Smeeze when they put the dance on Fortnite, you know.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah, they credited for him for that. And me and Frenchie had also did some dances for NBA 2K. So we had the moves on there since 2K16. So okay. 2K16 is they're still going on there right now. So we've influenced a lot, you know what I'm saying?
So you all did your business right then.
Yeah.
Cause a lot of the dancers didn't, to the point that people were, remember they were talking about boycotting some of these things. So yeah, was that a Bay thing that you all was able to hustle and make sure you got
Well, if it wasn't for that video, it wouldn't have been, they wouldn't have felt the need to credit dancers because dancers was like the easy access to anything. Like, you know, rappers could use us, everybody could use us for promotion, make their songs look hotter, everything. And that's been going on since back in the day. Everybody had background dancers, you know what I'm saying? Because if nobody's dancing to your song, then, you know, the song doesn't seem very hot. But at the end of the day, it's like, now people recognize that, you know what I'm saying? What's his name, K Camp? I respect him a lot because he gave that little girl love, like, you know what I'm saying? He had her back for real. Like, he got her to the points where she getting big deals from Paramount, you know what I'm saying? Paramount and all of that, you know, he put her on the Shade Room and made sure she got her credit for making his song hot. You know what I'm saying? And that's love right there. And I feel like cats like, you know, E40, I have a huge relationship with him, you know what I'm saying? And for me to grow up listening to his music and tell me when to grow, that's actually tight, but Tell Me When to Go actually dropped on my birthday, you know what I'm saying? And for E40 to be my friend, I can be able to call him my friend, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of crazy to me. So that's a testament to what Gary Archer was talking about, how it used to be so hard to access these people, but over time everybody became closer and easier to access, you know?
Right. I appreciate that. And I'm glad to see that you all got the recognition on that. And that's a lesson. That's a whole show unto itself, because so many people did not. But that's a Bay thing to
right.
make sure that the hustle game is tight. Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Real talk. Go ahead. Penn, you were about to say something to some of that. Early.
Yeah. Because, like, all right, so you got to imagine I step into the journalism game with the camera in my hand, watching Ice Cold and all the other dancers get down at Youth Uprising. Like, that's where I really started, like, really doing journalism and documenting culture, right? And what I didn't recognize was that I was watching my partners develop their skills and develop, like, essentially what they're going to be employed to do. And they're doing it out of their passion, but they needed a space to do that. So the community centers, Ice Cold in the documentary mentioned the functions, and like the functions and how they played a huge part in not only development of like culture and like spreading the word about what the quote unquote hyphy movement is about, or like what we were doing in our communities, but they were developing their skills. They were working. They were spreading their brand. People were getting to know them. They were on the stage. And like that, that's how you create, I don't know, like industry, if you will. That's how definitely how you create like successful entrepreneurs. And so, yeah, I just wanted to highlight that, especially because there wasn't a lot going on at that time. You know, you talk about context, 2006, downtown wasn't jumping like it is now. Like it definitely didn't look like it does now. Those candy shop functions and stuff like that, they play a huge part.
That's a big part. You know, the gas stations and late at night and all that. Let me bring Gary back into this. Can we talk a little bit about the car part of it? You know, because that's a highlight and that's a thing that people kind of know the Bay for, you know, or sideshows and all that, which goes back all the way to the 70s. But with respect to the documentary, we often heard people say the hyphy movement was a soundtrack for what was going on in the streets, in particular around the cars. In the documentary, Larry, you show a lot of the donuts, and of course, E-40 with Tell Me When to Go kind of helps bring national attention to Ghost Riding the Whip and all these other things. But Gary or Larry, let's talk about the car culture aspect of it and how important that was, at least in understanding hyphy and what was highlighted in the documentary. I'll start off with you, Gary Archer.
Let's just understand the Bay Area and Oakland in particular, right? So before the car culture even happened, we had kids that had BMX bikes, right? So you got BMX bikes and you and your friends don't have the best bikes, but you have bikes, right? So we've always been one in the city of Oakland to be very, very, I want to say inventive, very, you know, just prideful, back to the pride thing, and say, you know what? I'm just going to put some black electrical tape on my bike. I'm going to put stripes on my bike. That's where it started. Like, I'm putting stripes on my bike. And so I was like, you know what? I'm putting tinfoil on my rims, on my bike. Mm-hmm. And because like you said, in the 70s, the car culture was real big, low riders, muscle cars. Like, it wasn't on the pillow game, but it was some show up stuff, right? It was on some, you know, we players, stuntastic out here, right? So it's your pimp debut. So people like the car is a big part of it. And then it just started elevating into, my car's not that nice, but look what it do. That's where the word "what it do" come from. You know, he said, what it do. And it's like, just because it looked like this don't mean that it don't go crazy out here, right? So the car culture kind of developed around us. You know, we're show-offs, bro. So we're showing off. Like, the whole sideshow was first started off showing off. Okay, I could donut, show off. And then that's when the Ghost Rider took it to another level. Like, oh, I'm gonna get out this car real slow and let this thing ride by you by myself. Like, we just kept thinking of ways to I want to say expand it. Like, and it wasn't me individually, but all of us collectively just keep adding to it, like another layer. And it's like, it just kept going. All of a sudden rims got bigger and we're like, yo, put the big rims on the little car, cut out the fenders, like, what, put speakers in the grill.
Are you surprised to see that Houston has its own car scene and New Orleans has its own car scene and all these other cities? You know, they all have a car aspect to what they're doing. New York, even absolutely, with a place without cars, you know, there was a time that everybody had the Jeeps, you know, and they were stunting them out. So, you know, so there's obviously uniqueness with the Bay, but were you surprised to see that car aspect was so prevalent in other places?
I would have been, except in my early age, I was very familiar with the lowrider scene, San Francisco lowrider scene, which instantly helped me understand at least the whole world likes lowriders at some aspect of it, right? Right. And then and what that did to me, what it did out here is even spark this movement. Like, yo, we like cars, but we don't do the lowriders, though. We're gonna let you guys do that, and then we're gonna do this, right? Almost like the same thing. Like, people gotta understand, like, a lot of people's around this country's first cassette tapes was from the Bay Area. Like they got a lot of information without visual. Like, there was no music videos, right, in the Bay. Like, so it's like they listen to the music and almost, I don't want to say I don't want to be like everyone else and say they grab from us, but I'm saying that the whole world finds something and they add to it. So I was excited, let's say excited. The Houston scene to me is the only place close. Like, they're close to the Bay the way they go crazy. Right. But you know, I'm excited to see anyone proudful about what they're doing and where they're from, no matter how little it is. And I think the cars give someone an opportunity to do that, even if it's just a small group.
But this goes also back to what Ice Cold was talking about. All that talent, all that energy, and no major people coming in and saying, let's nurture it. I want people to think about that. The innovativeness that you show in the film, Larry, with the cars, with the dancing, all this sort of stuff, right? Had it happened in Marin somewhere, people would have been like, let's bring the best and brightest. Let's nurture this. Let's take it to the next level. What are they doing with these cars? Wow, this is an engineering feat. You know, you took a Prius and figured out how to do donuts. I'm just, you know, that's always been my dream. Can I get my Prius to do donuts? But, you know, but you figure that out, right? People want to sit you down, talk to you, and take it to the next level. But when it happens in Oakland, it's something that's criminal, right? Because in 2000, you know, around that time, people like Jerry Brown was like, how can we shut it all down? How can we take everybody to jail? How can we make this a menace? And something that, you know, 20 years later, people want to take a bow and say this is the Bay. But back then, they were like, this is a problem and we need to shut it down and it's an embarrassment and all these different things versus nurturing and seeing that this could be something that becomes a source of pride and an attraction to the city. Because, I mean, obviously people around the planet know what we do, but on an official level, this is like, I don't want to see these turf dancers in the middle of the street. What are they doing? I don't want to see these people dancing around with these cars. I don't want to see all this music. You know, now everybody wants to bow down and say, oh yeah, that's the Bay, that's Oakland. But they didn't at the time it was coming up. And I think that's a missed opportunity, but it's also indicative of watching the very people that you scorn, you know, do something and then you want to take credit and eat with them after they blow up. And, you know, let's kind of wrap up. Larry, what do you want to add to this? And also tell people when they can see this thing with respect to the San Francisco Black Film Festival. That's going to, you know, that we're kind of highlighting that showing.
Yeah, I mean, I just, to end it, I want to thank everyone, like, in front of and behind the camera, like, all you guys, Gary, Penn, Ice Cold, like, this movie wouldn't exist without everyone that shared their story and their intimate moments in front of the camera. Like, it's documentary. Like, it's not a narrative that was written. This is your guys' story, so I appreciate you and everyone that put in volunteered time behind the camera, like, just, like, filmmakers that just, like, volunteered their time, because, so thank you for that. And, yeah, We Were Hyphy will be playing at the San Francisco Black Film Festival on June 16th. Tickets are available on sfbff.org. We'll have the link in our Instagram, @WeWereHyphy. So please come check it out, support. And then we have more screenings coming. Stay tuned, more screenings coming this summer.
Okay, so San Francisco Black Film Festival, June 16th. Go to sfbff.org. You can tap in and on there. Appreciate it, Larry Madrigal. Good job on that. Hey, Gary, I was hoping to get your other half, D-Ray, on there, but one of the highlights in that film was your partner's photo game was years ahead of time. And I think we were talking offline. Her and Tracy Bartlow need to take photos and do something, but her photos were haunting. They were just like, I mean, that's a movie on itself. You know, because she was there. And I mean, just seeing some of those photos, it was like, it brought back memories. It was sadness. It was, she captured a lot of stuff, man. Anything you want to comment with respect to those photos?
I'm just, it makes me sad even talking about it, Dave. Like the whole, like right now, like the things D-Ray had to do, one, just being a woman in the scene and then actually carving her own niche, making this happen. People got to understand this is pre-digital. Like, this is film where she had to go spend money and buy film, go take the pictures, then go develop the pictures. Like, without ever, like, with that anxiety of what these pictures look like. It's not like you get to see the pictures, so it's over. Like, it's over. You go home, and now you get to look at the pictures and hope you got it, right? Mm-hmm. And I just remember that she said, I remember when she first got her first camera, my brother had a concert in San Jose, Eminem was there, and it was before his album came out. His single just came out, My Name Is, right? And I'm telling D-Ray, I'm like, yo, that guy right there is gonna be big. His name's Eminem. He just dropped a song called My Name Is. And she looked at him and went, the guy in the Budweiser t-shirt? I'm cool, and didn't take the picture, right? So then, you know, as Eminem blows up the next couple months, she's like, I'm never going to do that again. You never know who someone is or who they're going to be. I'm going to take all the pictures, and if they need the pictures, I'm going to have them. And there was something special in her where, in the midst of chaos, everything was moving in slow motion for her. Slow motion. And she, if you look at this film, it's not just famous people in this film. There's thousands of people in this film that deserve credit. Like the fans, these people's families are going to see themselves in this film and feel like crazy. I want to say over 200 people in this documentary, y'all, these 100 to 200 people are dead in these pictures. That people don't even, they might notice the famous people that are passed in these pictures, but there's at least 100, 200 people in this thing that are passed. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the way she freezes the moments, the way she gets the most hardest people to smile, it's just incredible, Dave. I wish I could give her more credit. We wouldn't, she's one of the driving forces. She had the outlets from Showcase magazine, then moved on to Ozone magazine. And by becoming this historian early, that all the major outlets came to her for pictures. So she got to show off the Bay Area, right? And it makes her real proud, and me real proud too, bro. But yeah, she took it by the horns, and that's not even close to the dent of pictures, Davey. Ask go ahead, ask him how many pictures you got. Larry, how many pictures? Millions of pictures, right?
Millions. And hundreds, yeah, and that was only like one little flash drive, hundreds and hundreds. And like, for real, this documentary wouldn't exist without D-Ray's pictures. Like,
but you know the cool thing? It's homegrown. You didn't have to go to some big corporate company somewhere where they go, oh, we own the rights to the 40 pictures and all that. This is in our backyard, and that's a testament to us being able to tap into our own resources. Pendarvis, last word from you, and then Ice Cold, let's get your last thoughts.
And then more to it, man. I appreciate y'all for having me. Appreciate y'all for doing this. Yeah, keep the conversation going.
There you go. Thank you, Pendarvis. Ice Cold, last comments from you.
Man, I just appreciate being here, man. Like, getting a chance to actually talk and stuff, like, be heard. Like, I feel like that's heck of different, man. So I appreciate Larry, Penn, Gary, all y'all, man, for even giving me this opportunity to be here. You too, Davey, man.
Okay. And man, when can I get my turf dance lesson? That's why I had you on the show.
Whenever you're ready, bro.
You know, I'm trying to come up like that. That's the whole purpose for you being here, bro. I wanna get those moves.
Yeah, I'm 32nd round, man. Got you.
All right, we're gonna take a break here on Hard Knock Radio. Larry Madrigal, the director of We Were Once Hyphy, Gary Archer, you know, Pendarvis Harshaw, Ice Cold. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. We're going to take a break here on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
The soil where them rappers be getting they lingo from.
Ooh. Tell me when to go.
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 It's just, I broke. My city couldn't be saved. Shonda. I slid past on the gas, got the at me. It's good, like the granddaddy. Cross gang, you get flipped, not the burger patty. I zigzagged, pass me the big old fat. I drank white with a snow bunny. Talking big shit in a scraper point. Hell I done. 1800, Jose Cuervo. Thought that I mean, y'all that I'm saying no. Ooh. Tell me when to go.
Tell me when to go.
Tell me when to go.
Tell me when to go. Go.
Direct traffic for a minute. Let me tell y'all about this hockey movement we got going in the back. When I say something, you say it right back at me. You smell me? We're gonna do it like this here. Ghost ride the whip.
Ghost ride the whip.
Ghost ride the whip.
Ghost ride the whip.
Now scrape,
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 scrape.
Put your stunner shades on.
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 Now gas, brake,
dip,
dip. Gas, brake,
dip,
dip. Shake them dreads,
shake them dreads,
shake them dreads,
shake them dreads.
Let me see you show your grip.
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 Now fierce,
thanks,
fierce,
thanks.
Fierce,
thanks,
fierce,
thanks.
Doors open, man.
Doors open, man.
Doors open, man.
Doors open, man.
Now watch them swing, watch them swing.
Now
watch them swing, watch them swing. Go stupid,
go,
go, go stupid,
go,
go.
Ooh. Tell me when to go.
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 Go.
Down at Hard Knock Radio.
Hard Knock Radio.
Kinda crazy though. Oakland stand up.
Yeah. Stand up.
Ensemble Big Night Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bellevue. Come on. Check out.
Why every novice think they hard knock when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats trying to eat till they're ready for the steel gray beef. Say please. Maybe they'll save you a seat at the table with a great bread making. Second piece to their lovers, I name with a please. Hey, there's some shade on your name in the street. You go, hey, it ain't David D.
Real Talk Radio.
You and I rocking with the best in the West.
Yes, Coast. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
East Coast. Talk, don't stop. EMN at it again. Sandman, Daddy Man, Chris, Juwan, Kim. Yeah. Innovation, stimulating ill conversation. Anything else, just imitation, simulation. Step into the zone, the Bay Area zone. Hard Knock Radio, let's go. Big shout out, Anita and Davey D.
Yeah, right, feel me.
Yeah. Honing down at Hard Knock Radio.
Hard Knock Radio.
Kinda crazy though.
Yeah.
Oakland stand up.
Yeah. Stand up.
Ensemble Big Night Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bellevue. Come on, check out.
Why every novice think they hard knock when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats, trying to eat till they're ready for the steel gray beef. Say please, maybe they'll save you.
We'll be right back. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring a full-time development director. This position leads all fundraising campaigns in alignment with KBOO's mission, goals, and policies. The development director works closely with management and staff to identify funding priorities and create major donor campaigns, capital campaigns, and grant writing. More info can be found at kboo.fm/hiring. We will begin reviewing applications on August 7th, and the position will remain open until filled. KBOO is an equal opportunity employer.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programmings of KBOO in accordance with and requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.